All right, we're going to be in Psalm 23. Psalm 23 this morning. We're probably just going to get through verse 2. All right, Psalm 23. Now, we don't know exactly when this psalm was penned. We don't know what the occasion was that prompted David to pen this psalm, because he doesn't mention it here. What we do know is that it is a psalm of David. That's what we see in the introduction there, a psalm of David. But the placement of the psalm is very telling. Where this psalm appears in the midst of the Psalms is rather remarkable, and it tells us a lot. We know that this is a psalm of great joy, right? It's well recognized in the world. A lot of people know this psalm, and a lot of people refer to this psalm when they're troubled or sorrowing. It's often used at funerals and put on funeral cards, laminated and given out to people to remember their loved one by. But it's a great joy. This is a psalm of great joy and gladness for the flock of Jesus Christ. The world looks to it and reads it, but they don't know, they don't understand the author of it and why we have such joy. They don't know these things, but the joy and the gladness that's outlined for us here in this psalm for the flock of Christ, it's actually all owing to the sorrow and the suffering of our great Savior. It's all owing. The reason why the flock of Christ has joy and is glad today in the Lord is because of the sorrow and the suffering of our great Shepherd on the cross. And this is all traced out for us in the psalm that comes just before Psalm 23. In Psalm 22. There on the cross, Psalm 22 speaks of the cross of Christ. And when our great shepherd hung on the cross, he knew no green pastures. He stood beside no still waters. Right? When God's wrath came flooding in, he didn't experience any peace and comfort. He was on the cross bearing the wrath of God. He bore the raging sea of Holy God's infinite justice, all the while he sustained and provided for his beloved sheep. We're told in Hebrews 10:14, that he, by one offering, hath perfected forever them that are sanctified by the Lord. And he purged us of our sins there on the cross. He bore the sin of his people. He endured every stripe, suffered every blow that was our due. That which should have been laid upon us, but for our iniquity and our sin, he put it away by the death of himself. Isaiah speaks at this time, saying that Christ was wounded for our transgressions. And note that word, our. It's used in the same way that we use the word our. When we use our, when we're talking about our, it's for a specific people. We have a specific people in mind. And he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. And so every debt that we owed to God, every debt of righteousness that we owe to Holy God, it was charged to Christ's account. And we're told in Psalm 69:4 that Christ restored that which he took not away. He didn't go to the cross because he's a sinner. He committed no sin, no crime against God. He's perfect and holy, righteous and just. And so he didn't owe anything to God, but he fulfilled all righteousness for his people. And so through Christ, through Jesus Christ, the great shepherd, that's how his people are brought into the family of God, so that even now we are righteous. We are the righteousness which God requires for us to stand before Him, thanks be to Jesus Christ. So that it's through His power and His glory, because of His faithful work in doing and completing what the Father sent Him to do. Now, we're just going to look at just probably a couple of the verses here in Psalm 23 today. And so just remember, though, that the tender care that you who know Christ, you that believe Christ, the tender care that you know and experience in Him because of His mercy and grace, it's all born out of the fact that He was forsaken. God forsook God for His people. He was forsaken for His people. It's because of His cry where He said, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? Why art Thou so far from hearing, from helping me, and from the words of my roaring? All right, our title is The Lord is My Shepherd. The Lord is My Shepherd. And the first division we'll be looking at is the first verse, Christ our Shepherd. So let's look at Christ our Shepherd. The psalm here begins, verse 1, saying, The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. That's the title which is given to the Lord. That's the title that He takes to Himself, and it denotes the care, it denotes the condescension of God Almighty, who cares for His people, who takes care of His people. He's the shepherd of His people. The psalmist in Psalm 8 noted, What is man that Thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that Thou visitest him? So our Lord is the shepherd of His sheep. He's the shepherd of His sheep. Now, I don't know when it started, but I know that on social media today, people use the term sheep. And when they call people sheep, or when they call them sheeple, it's a derogatory remark. They use it to insult people because they're saying, if someone calls you a sheep, they're saying you're a simple-minded fool. You're just listening to whatever they're telling you. You're not thinking. You're not using your own brain. You're just following lies and whatever it is that people are telling you, whatever they're arguing about. But in terms of the believer, in terms of those who love Christ and trust Him, it's really no insult to us at all. It affirms the truth of what the Lord tells us about us. He tells us who it is that He's gathering in as a shepherd into His fold, into His flock. Paul writes of this in 1 Corinthians 1:26, saying, For ye see your calling, brethren, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. So they can say what they want, right? People can call us all sorts of names and call us whatever they want, but we're reminded of what our Lord said. When they speak against you, it's not you that they speak against. They're speaking against me, right? It's the Lord who chose us. It's the Lord who chose us, and so they're insulting Him. They're charging Him with folly. They're charging Him with foolishness, and so it falls upon the Lord, but He'll deal with them in the day. In the day that of His choosing, He'll deal with them very soon. So the world's people, they're actually not called sheep in the Scriptures. Right? The world, the inhabitants of the world who know not God, they're never referred to as sheep. There are some who are called wolves who are deceivers. Right? The wolves who come in sheep's clothing to deceive and they're liars. And then there are many who are called goats. They're called goats. They have no part in the family of God. And we're told that the Lord is the one who separates His sheep. And he's the one that will separate out his sheep. We're told in Matthew 25, before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. So he's dividing his sheep from the goats. Right? And oftentimes when we hear of that, when we think of that view, we're thinking to ourselves, well, which side am I going to appear on? On the left side of the Lord with the goats, or on his right with the sheep? But David here in Psalm 23 verse 1, he says with incredible conviction, he says, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. And we know that there's many today that speak with presumption, right? A lot of presumption. And even in places where the gospel is not preached, they accuse others of being presumptuous to think and to say that Christ is my Lord. Right? Many people would say, well, unless you're doing what we set up and you're jumping through the hurdles and the hoops that we've set up for you to do, you can't say that Christ is your shepherd. You can't speak of him as your Lord and your Savior until you've done this thing or that thing. But when the heart in hope speaks of this, when we, having nothing of ourselves, having no confidence in ourselves, are hoping in Christ, believing him, believing the testimony of our God, trusting his righteousness and not our own, we may say, the Lord is my shepherd. You're not trusting yourself. You're not trusting another Jesus. You're not trusting in some other religion or what you're able to do in this world. You're trusting Christ. And the scriptures are very plain. They tell us, you that believe on him, he's your shepherd. Because it's from the heart. It's from the heart that we speak that. Right? When you in your heart, now I don't know your heart and you don't know my heart, but we know that many can say these things. But if you in your heart believe that there's nothing you can do for righteousness, and you believe God, that Christ was sent of God, given of God, spared not by the Father to put away the sins of his people, and that then rest in him. Trust him, believe him, and he is your shepherd, your Savior. All right, so when we're pressed for a reason of our hope, the answer for the believer is always Christ. It's always Christ. All right, well, don't you have anything that you can look to, right? Doesn't the world look to various things? When think back of all the various people that you've met in your life, and there's many who say, well, I have a verse. I have a verse that was made special to me. And I remember that day when this verse came to me with power, and that's my hope. I have a verse, right? And others were told when they were young or sitting in other congregations, with all your heads bowed and eyes closed, put up your hands if you're giving your life to Jesus today. Put up your hands. God sees you, right? And that's how people have a hope, because they put up their hand. And other places tell you to come down the aisle to the altar, and give your heart to Jesus. Pray a prayer with the prayer captain, and he'll lead you to Jesus. And he'll give you the Romans road, and you just say these things and learn these verses, and then you'll be saved. It's always in their doing. Man's religion is always in their doing of what they've done for the Lord, and that's where their hope and confidence is. But the Lord's people have no confidence in the flesh. We don't put our trust in those things. We continually look to the Lord Jesus Christ. We're continually believing him, continually trusting what he has done, because it's his righteousness that makes us fit to stand before the Lord. He's done the work. It's not us, but of him. And so when pressed what our confidence is and asked what we've done for the Lord, all we can say is, I'm only a sinner saved by grace. By grace. There's nothing I've done. I'm only a sinner. I've done nothing, but the Lord in mercy has saved me by grace. Peter, if you notice Peter and all the apostles in 1 Peter 2, verses 24 and 25, they're always bringing us back to look to the Lord, to give him glory, him praise, him honor. It's not what you or I do, but what Christ has accomplished in himself. We're told, Peter says, who his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye and me, we were as sheep going astray, but now are returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Christ is the shepherd and bishop of the souls of his people. That means that he's shepherding your soul. He's the one who's leading and guiding each of his children to where he wants them to be. He's the one who's calling them and drawing them to himself. And so you think about that, that the God who created the heavens and the earth, all things that we know of and see or don't see, but know of, God who created everything, he is called the shepherd of his people. He's never called the shepherd of all the world. He's never called the shepherd of all people. He's always referred to as the shepherd of his people. There's a peculiar relationship there. There's a special relationship between the Lord and his people. And so, as our shepherd and bishop sees fit, everything he deems necessary, he's provided it freely by his grace in Jesus Christ, through his work, what he's accomplished for them. And now, because he's the shepherd of his people, we read, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." We'll have no want. Now, it doesn't matter how rich or wealthy a person is in this world. They always have wants. They're never satisfied. They're never at peace. They're always wanting something more. It doesn't matter what they have. They always want something more. But the Lord's people are made content. We're made content in the Lord. We rest in his righteousness. We're at peace with what the Lord himself has provided. And so we learn contentment under his care and his provision, seeing as he's revealing to us and making known to us that he's provided everything. He's done everything necessary, and we learn contentment in him. So the righteous, they don't want for Christ. They don't want for righteousness. And the Lord provides, he cares for them, he provides for them, he watches over them, and preserves his people to the end. All right, now in the next verse, we see this. We see this care of the Lord. Look at verse 2 with me, Psalm 23, verse 2. He says, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters."
Still waters.
Now, there's a sense that's presented here to us, right? There's a rest. There's a contemplative rest there for the people of God. They're at peace. "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures." And there's also another sense that's presented here of action or movement. "He leadeth me beside the still waters." You see that there? There's a rest where he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. And there's action. There's movement there where he leadeth me beside still waters. So the first thing that the Lord does for his people is he makes them to do nothing. He makes us to be still. And that's a hard, hard, impossible thing for the flesh to do. Because we're always excited, we're always worried, we're always fearful and afraid when we hear the things of God. And so we think we've got to move to action. We've got to start doing something now to earn God's favor and to appease his wrath, to quiet our guilty screaming conscience. But the Lord says, "Be still. Be still and know that I am God." We've got to be still. And that's something that carnal man doesn't want to do. Carnal man wants to take things by his hands and make happen what he thinks should happen. But the Lord says, "Be still. Do nothing. You can't do anything. You and I can't do anything to save ourselves." And so the Lord is going to bring each of his people to an end in themselves and to stop doing and to stop trying and to stop trying to make amends with God, but to just be still and to know that he is God, to know that he is our Lord and Savior. All right. Now, while we want to be doing things, we're told in Psalm 23, verse 2, that He maketh me. All right? Because we can't stop. We won't stop. We don't want to stop, but He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. And how do we do that? How does He make us to lie down? Well, it's not in the flesh. It's not a work of the flesh. It's by His Spirit. Because it's only by the Holy Spirit that we'll hear His voice and that we'll be given a heart to obey Him. It's only by the Spirit of the Lord. He's the one that creates obedience in the heart. He's the one that takes out the heart of stone, the hard heart, and He's the one who gives a heart of flesh, that is, one that is turned by Him, one that is of His creation and His work, and then we rest in Christ. Our Lord was speaking of sheep. He said, there's other sheep besides the Jews here. There's those that aren't religious at all that I'm calling. There's Jews that know nothing of the truth, but I'm calling them, and there's Gentiles that are sitting in darkness and know nothing of God. They're entirely ignorant of the truth of God, and them also I'm calling. And so He says, other sheep I have, and He tells us, they shall hear my voice. They shall hear my voice. And that's different. The Lord's people hear His voice. They hear it by faith. Right? There was many in Egypt, many Jews by the flesh in Egypt that heard the word, and they exited out of Egypt and went with Moses into the wilderness, and were told that they heard the word, but it wasn't mixed with faith. They didn't have faith. They didn't have the Spirit of God, whereby they only heard it in the flesh. They only heard the word of a man and saw Moses and were following him. But they weren't following the Lord. So the Lord is the one who makes us to hear His voice. And so we're made to feed upon green pastures. What are these green pastures? What are the green pastures that we're made to feed upon? Well, these are the promises of God in Christ. These are the promises of God in Christ that we are fed and nourished by. Right? The Lord tells us that all who are in Christ, that He shall be a father unto them. And He says, you shall be my sons and daughters. You that are mine, you shall be my sons and daughters, and I will be a father to you. He promises that in Christ. He also tells us that He sent His Son for the very purpose to wash us and cleanse us of our sins. We're never going to satisfy Holy God by anything we do. Never. God isn't pleased with the works of the flesh. He's not impressed with what we think impresses God. What we think is a good work isn't a good work. It's a filthy work. Whether you're sinning through the lust of the flesh or doing some religious work, that all of it is of the flesh and it doesn't please God. The one work that pleases Him is what Christ did. It's what Christ, His Son, accomplished for His people. And He tells us that Christ has made His people. He successfully purged His people of their sin and made them righteous to stand before God faultless before His throne. And another promise that we have in Christ is that He gives us His Holy Spirit. He seals His people with the Holy Spirit, whereby they hear His word and obey His word, whereby they believe Him and rest in Him and feed upon the Lord Jesus Christ continually. So that having made us alive, right, the Lord has made us alive, He's made us full, He's made us healthy in Christ. Because in Adam, we're dead. We're sick, dying, worthless, weak, unable, not strong, unable to please God or to do anything for the Lord. But He makes us full and healthy. And then, therefore, He leads us. He leads us. Verse 2 continues saying, He leadeth me beside the still waters. Well, where does He lead us? Well, He leads us out from the teaching of the whore of Babylon. Right? He takes us out from all those lies, all those deceptions, all that trickery, all those things that are works of darkness. He leads us out of those things which keep us deceived and in bondage. You know, there's a lot of spiritual things in this world. There's a lot of activity. There's a lot of weird things, and people experience things in various forms of religion, in various things, and they think, well, I've experienced this, so this must be the truth. This must be of God. Well, no, there's spiritual beings in dark places, sitting on thrones and doing what they do. But the Lord says that's all wickedness. It's not of the Lord. It doesn't glorify Christ. It glorifies man. And the Lord takes us away from those things. He delivers us out of those things. So it doesn't matter what we experience here. That doesn't mean it's salvation. That doesn't mean it's true. The Lord delivers us from that. So he's taking us out from under the bondage of the whore of Babylon. And he leads us to Christ. He's going to keep us coming to Christ. We never cease coming to Christ. We never cease needing Christ. We never stop coming to him. We're always coming to Christ. We're always looking to him. We're always being drawn to our Savior. And Christ, I was thinking about these still waters, and I was reminded last night as I was looking at this about the waters of Shiloh that go softly. Right? Isaiah spoke of that in Isaiah 8, 6. He said, these are the waters of Shiloh, these peaceful waters which the Lord has for his people. And Israel, in Isaiah's day, they heard it and they refused it. They refused the waters of Shiloh that go softly. But the Lord won't let us refuse it. The Lord leads us to Christ. The Lord leads us to those still, peaceful waters, which is Christ. And so in him, we grow in him. We hear his word. We see that it's all by the working of the Lord our God, who is our shepherd, who loved us and gave himself for us. Over in Ezekiel 34, if you want to turn there, Ezekiel 34, it's a good-sized passage, so I'm not going to read it all, but it speaks of our Savior as the shepherd. It's a good reading later today. If you want to read it all, it shows us what Christ came to do and what he accomplished for his people. Isaiah 34, we'll just pick up in verse 12, and it outlines his work for the flock. It says, Ezekiel 34:12, as a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep. And I will bring them out from the people, and gather them from the countries, and will bring them to their own land, and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers, right? Those waters of Shiloh that go softly, and in all the inhabited places of the country. So the Lord's doing it. He's bringing us to Christ. And then those words, inhabited places, caught my eye. And that's where the Lord has established a gospel church. Those are the inhabited places where living souls dwell. Living souls, right, are here among the Lord's people. And he brings us to inhabited places. He brings us to a place where we can hear the gospel as his sheep. He makes us to lie down in green pastures to hear his promises, which he's provided for us freely and abundantly in his Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Shepherd, who provided everything necessary for his people in Christ. And so, therefore, being made alive in him to hear his voice, we hear his word, right? In Luke 9, 23 and 24, where he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and daily and follow me, which we know is the gospel. We take up the gospel of Christ. That's our banner. We march under the banner of Jesus Christ, not under our own righteousness, not under works of righteousness which we have done, but we march under the banner of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so we take up that gospel, and that's how we lose our life. Right? Because we're not talking about and boasting about our works and what we've done. We're talking about and boasting in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we lose our life, but we gain it in the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, now, having said those things, you see how it takes faith. It takes faith for both of those things. It takes faith to stop, to have nothing in your hand, and to trust the Lord. To lie down in green pastures, to trust his promises, to feed upon his promises which he gives freely and abundantly in his darling Son, Jesus Christ. And it takes faith to be led, to go where he leads us, to trust him and to believe the Lord where he's bringing us. And that's what we're told. The just shall live by faith. We shall live by faith, so we believe him. And I'll just close with this verse in Romans 1:17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. The Spirit of God takes of the faithfulness of Christ, and the gifts which he's given and earned for his people is given to his people. He gives his people, severally as he will, the gift of faith. According to the measure of the gift of faith, he gives his people and reveals to them the truths of these things that we're speaking of in the Lord Jesus Christ. For it is written, the just shall live by faith. So I pray the Lord would comfort your hearts so that our comfort is resting in Christ. It's not just because it's nice words and a nice poem, but it's because Christ, our Savior, is indeed the very shepherd of his people, and that he give you the hope and the comfort and the confidence to say, the Lord is my shepherd, my shepherd. I pray the Lord will bless that to your heart. All right, let's pray. Our gracious Lord, we thank you, Father, for the abundance of life which you've provided in your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, help us. Help us to hear. Help us to believe, Lord. Make us to hear. Make us to believe what you have accomplished in your Son, Jesus Christ, for your people. Draw your people out of darkness and into the light of your Son, Jesus Christ. It's in his name we pray and give thanks. Amen.